I brought a few things with me.
Today,
I wore my glasses so I would look smart.
I also brought some big books with me, because if I carry them and I wear my glasses, I look smart, don't I? I look smarter than I normally do? Maybe? A little bit? Yeah? Okay. All right. Last week we learned a little bit about wisdom. If you remember, wisdom, is it having all this knowledge?
No.
No, wisdom isn't having all this knowledge. It's not being smart. I could open this up and I could read some big words, especially this one that's a dictionary. I could read some big words and I could sound real smart. I grabbed our flower press dictionary. What do we do? All right. Did you know that was in there? No, okay. Somebody stuck it in the dictionary at some point. Shows you how much often we use the dictionary. The paper-bound one, anyway. So, I could read some big words and I could sound real smart, but that doesn't necessarily make me wise, right? Wisdom is something different. If you could have one wish in this world, what would you... Do what? Oh, okay. If you could have one wish... What would you wish for? And you can't wish for more wishes.
Being helpful and kind to others.
You would wish to be helpful and kind to others? You show up to Sunday school every day. Good job. What's something you would wish for? That's hard. Put you on the spot. Would you wish for health? You could wish for some cool toys, talent. Yeah, if you could wish for anything. You could wish for money, yeah. Yeah, if you could wish for anything. There's a guy in the Bible who God came, and he didn't give him a wish, but he said he would give him anything that he wanted. And this man was Solomon, King Solomon. And his father was King David. And when his father passed away, he became king. And God came to him and said, hey, I'll give you anything. Whatever you ask for, I'll give it to you. And Solomon asked for, you know what he asked for? They just gave you the answer. No, not water. he asked for wisdom, which is what God wanted him to. Yeah. He did. Yep. One person, a whole bunch of people God gave water to at one point. But yes. But this point, Solomon gets water. No. Solomon gives wisdom, right? Wisdom, thank you. Solomon asks for wisdom, and God gives him wisdom. And that's what God wanted him to ask for. He wanted him to ask for wisdom. And then he also gets all kinds of riches and relationships out of that as well. And things go really well for Solomon for a long time. But at the end of his life, things start happening that aren't good for Solomon. Do you know why? Solomon gets all this stuff, and he starts thinking, it's because of me. It's because of all my smarts. He forgets where all his wisdom comes from. It comes from, you know where it comes from? Where does wisdom come from? It comes from God. Yeah, our wisdom comes from God. And he forgot that. And because of that, he starts relying on himself, and he thinks, I did all this. It's by my work, my power, and I'm king, and I'm smart. And things started falling apart really fast for him and his family, and things go really bad for him and Israel after that because of him relying on that. So when we ask for wisdom, we got to remember our wisdom comes from God. And when things go well, we got to remember it's because of God and not because of anything that we do ourselves. All right? And I'm going to turn it over to... And we're going to head off to that.
Thank you, can brother. Tell me more stories. Good morning. So good to see everybody here this morning. I want you to open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 1, if you will, please. Proverbs chapter 1. Is my mic working this morning? Do I have it on? Can you hear it? There we go, I think. All right. Proverbs chapter 1. In verse 7, Proverbs 1, verse 7, Solomon says this. He says the fear, remember last week we talked about the word fear, means reverence. The reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. We are continuing the series of lessons on God's wisdom. Last week we talked about the availability of God's wisdom from Proverbs 1, 20 through 33. Today, from that same text, we will look at what Solomon says about the consequences of ignoring God's wisdom. And then next week, we're going to look at the application of God's wisdom from the book of James. Ben just took this part of my lesson from me today, but listen to what I'm going to have to say. If God spoke to you directly and said that he will give you whatever your heart's desire, what would you request of God? Again, you know, Sammy said, well, it could be money. You know, maybe you would request money. Good health. The love of your dream. You know, to be young again, okay? You know, to be young again. Now, I believe it's safe to say that that God didn't approach anyone here this morning and said, I'm going to give you anything that you wanted, okay? I don't think he said that. And this may not have happened to you and me, but as Ben told us, that it certainly did happen. It happened when God appeared to King Solomon, the son of David, in a dream and said to him in 1 Kings 3, verse 5, he says, ask for whatever you want me to give you. Okay? Ask for whatever you want. I mean, there were no stipulations. There was no condition. Whatever Solomon wanted, God was going to give it to him. Now, what's unique about this is that Solomon was a young man about 20 years old. And he was newly elected king. He recognized God as being the one who put him on the throne of his father David to lead the people of Israel. And now God tells this 20-year-old that he will give him anything he asks. Now I want you to think about that for a moment. If you could have anything you wanted when you were 20 years of age, think back at 20 years old. Some of you don't have to think far, but some of us do. But if you could have anything you wanted at 20 years old, what would you ask for if you were 20? Now, I'm really too embarrassed to say, okay? But believe me, it wasn't what Solomon asked for. It wouldn't have been that. It would not have been that. I mean, Solomon says to God in 1 Kings 3, 7 and 8, to paraphrase, he says, you put me on my father's throne over this great nation. So he says here that, but I'm just a child. I'm just a child and do not know how to carry out my duties. But then he asks in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9, he says, give me a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish right from wrong. So Solomon's request from God was for godly wisdom. And Solomon realized how foolish a 20-year-old could be, especially one who was the king of a great nation. And so he doesn't ask for money. He doesn't ask for power. He doesn't ask for honor. He asked to be wise, to be able to discern right from wrong in his decisions and his actions. Now, as Ben told us, later in life, Solomon forgot all about that. And he lived in a very difficult life, and God put him in different situations that were not good for him because he forgot about that wisdom. Last Sunday, I stated that all we have to do is look around and see that godly wisdom is greatly lacking in our society today. Do you believe that? Do you agree with that? That godly wisdom is greatly lacking. And in our text, in Proverbs chapter 1, Solomon personifies wisdom as a woman frantically running in the streets and at the city gates, shouting out to the people as they pass by, but yet her cries fall on deaf ears. Let's read that passage again. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 through 23. I want you to follow with me. I don't have it on the screen. Solomon writes, "Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares, and at the head of a noisy street, she cries out in the gateways of the city. She makes her speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called out, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, and since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh. I will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when a disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you. And then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look to me, but they will not find me. And since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But," listen to what he says, "but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." Again, Solomon wants us to understand that wisdom has an important message. It's a divine message, a message from God, and she has an important message to share, but yet we often ignore what wisdom says, and the result is dire consequences. And so I want us to begin taking a look at this text from this point of view of wisdom being ignored. Number one, wisdom can be ignored and spurned, verses 24 through 25. Now, Solomon said that wisdom calls out the streets and the gates of the city, but no one listens. Why is that? Why do people not listen to wisdom? Why do we ignore life's reproofs? What does Solomon say the reasons why we refuse? First of all, it is because of stubbornness. Say that with me. Stubbornness. Say it with me. Stubbornness. Okay? Solomon said in the first part of verse 24, he said, wisdom said, "You rejected me when I called." Now, the word reject is used often in the Old Testament for refusing established authority, stubbornly and openly rejecting it. As in the case of Pharaoh, who refused to let the Hebrews go in Exodus chapters 1 through 11. Let's bring up that next slide. Thank you. And although God warned Pharaoh through many rebukes, you know, one plague after another, I mean, those are rebukes from God, right? One plague after another to set his people free, I mean, he stubbornly refused to obey. And after the ninth plague, you know, Pharaoh told Moses in Exodus 10, verse 28, he says, "Get out of my sight." He says here, make sure you do not appear before me again, because the day you see my face, you will die. And that very night, God sent an angel to pass over the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh's firstborn son died, along with every firstborn child throughout Egypt who did not put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost. But then secondly, another reason that we understand, pardon me, let's not do the second one yet. I want us to understand, when we talk about being stubborn, I'm glad my wife is not here today. I mean, I hate that she's not feeling well. Because I think that we sometimes, like Pharaoh, can be rather stubborn. We all have this stubborn will at times. And I think husbands, you know, can really be stubborn people. Okay? No amens, please. Okay? But we can really be stubborn people. I mean, husbands, when your wife asks you to do some chore around the house and you're right in the middle of watching, you know, the Colts game or whoever it is that's playing, okay? Whoever you want to watch other than the Colts playing. But if you're right in the middle of the game, do you stubbornly sit there and ignore your wife when she says, "Hon, you need to take out the trash. You need to do this." Because you just stubbornly sit there pretending like you can't even see her. I mean, she could stand right in front of the television and you'll just sit there as if you could see right through her because you know that she can't stand there forever and if you move, you're had. Am I right about that? I mean, we husbands are like that. But also wives, they're not quite as stubborn as their husbands, but wives can also have what I refer to as reverse stubbornness. And husbands, let me ask you if this has ever happened to you. You decide you want to take your wife out for a special dinner, just the two of you. And so you get into the car and you ask, "Hun, where do you want to go out to eat?" And she says, "Sweetheart, it really doesn't matter to me. Wherever you go is fine." And so you say, no, this is your night. I want to take you wherever you want to go out to eat." And you sit in the car for 15 minutes trying to determine where to go eat. Your children are looking out the window. And they're saying, well, Mom and Dad are arguing over which place to go out to eat again tonight, you know. And finally, the husband says, okay, I'll choose. And he drives to a nice steakhouse. And after dinner, after eating, you get back in your car and your wife said, "That was really nice, but I would have preferred Italian," you know? You know, something like that. And you're thinking, "Why me, Lord? You know, why me?" And we all have a stubborn will. Am I right about that? We all have a stubborn will at times. But seriously, on a serious note, there are those who refuse to obey God because of a stubborn will. There are those who hear the sermon after sermon and invitation song after invitation song and still refuse to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, they know what they need to do. But yet they stubbornly refuse for one reason or another. And even Christians. Yeah, even we get caught up sometimes with this stubborn will of ours. Christians can get caught up in sin and stubbornly refuse to repent. And they know that they're doing wrong and what it is sinful, but yet they choose to go down their own way in stubborn defiance to God's will. We have all been there at one time or another, haven't we? We've all been there. But then secondly, another reason that we ignore wisdom is because of insensitivity. Say that with me. Insensitivity. Again, Solomon goes on, or wisdom goes on to say in the latter part of verse 24, he said, "No one gave heed when I stretched out my hand." Now, I want you to kind of picture this. Wisdom is crying out in the streets, and she's begging people to listen. And she's holding out her hand for someone to take hold of her hand, but all pass by, paying no attention to what she has to say. And sadly, there are those who become insensitive to the pleas of others. I mean, there are parents who plead with their teenagers to stay away from the wrong crowd. No, don't do drugs and alcohol. To abstain from sexual morality, only to have their children to break their hearts because of their rebellion. There are preachers who leave the ministry because they preach your hearts out and no one seems to listen. I just read this week, and I've read it before, and it's still validated every year that preachers are leaving the pulpit at a higher rate because no one listens anymore. And even the very people that Jesus came to save, they wouldn't listen either. I mean, Jesus looks over the city of Jerusalem and laments. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, it says here, Jesus said, I mean, just with tears, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets and stoned those sent to you, how often have I longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. You were not willing. Say that with me. You were not willing. Those are the saddest words, I think, recorded in the Bible. You were not willing. Jesus came to the Jews to save them from their destruction, but they wouldn't listen to his pleas. And he preached the good news of the kingdom, and he served them, and he raised their dead, and he healed their diseases. And Jesus longed for the Jews to turn to him for salvation, but instead the majority rejected him as the Christ and crucified him as a blasphemer. If you have ever tried to pierce the armor plate of an insensitive individual, then you know how frustrating that can be. Because you can plead and cry and beg some people to listen to what you have to say, and they just walk away as if you said nothing. But then thirdly, another reason we ignore wisdom is because of indifference. Say that with me, indifference. Verse 25, wisdom said, "You ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke." Have you ever tried to talk to somebody about something that is dear to your heart, only to have that person just roll his or her eyes? And you just know that the person is thinking, "I really couldn't care less. I couldn't care less what you have to say." I mean, husbands and wives get this from each other. Parents get it from their kids. Sometimes even teenagers get it from their parents. And all the counsel that wisdom is giving is being neglected by all those who pass by. The people couldn't care less what she had to say. They couldn't care. But then secondly, we see that ignoring wisdom results in serious consequences. Trouble comes to those who refuse and ignore wisdom. Wisdom has been crying out in the streets, pleading with people to listen to the counsel she has to give. But then in verse 26, we read where it says, "Now she laughs." She laughs at and mocks these very same people as they suffer the consequences of their rebellion. I mean, more often than not, when we refuse to listen to wise counsel, we will be the worse for it. Do you agree with that? If you don't listen to what wise counsel from God through whatever the sources he gives you, we will be the worse for it. Again, the courts are overflowing with divorce cases because husbands and wives refuse to listen to the wise counsel and the small reproofs of each other. And how many times, I've been a minister now for over four decades, preacher, for over four decades. And I can tell you of teenagers, of parents in those churches, many of those teenagers simply would not listen to what their parents said, what the preacher said, what the Bible class teacher said. And many had gotten into serious trouble by being arrested, gotten pregnant, become drug or alcohol dependent, got beat up because they were in situations where they shouldn't have been. Or maybe they were seriously injured, and I've even known of some teenagers who were killed while driving cars while intoxicated, and so on, all because they didn't listen to the wise counsel of their parents. And millions of people, will be lost eternally because they have rejected the wise counsel of God and refused to obey the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. A few years ago, a New Zealand man, 39-year-old Ivan Segedin, not sure how to pronounce his name, he was killed in this car that you see on the screen. After a low-impact car accident for refusing to wear a seatbelt. But what's unique about this story is that Ivan had been fined 32 times in 5 years for seatbelt offenses, and yet he ignored every single warning and continue to drive without a seatbelt. And to keep from being stopped by the police, he decided to make a fake seatbelt and draped it over his shoulder, giving the appearance that he was wearing one. And his seatbelt was in working order, but decided it was so much easier to take the time to make a fake seatbelt than just to buckle up. And the coroner wrote in his report, ultimately, Mr. Segedin's actions in driving without a seatbelt have cost him his life in an accident that he may well have survived had he worn one. I mean, with all of these violations, all of these warnings, he said, no, I'm not going to listen. And died as a result of it. But then in verses 28 through 32, it says, as trouble comes, some will turn to wisdom for counsel, but it will be too late. Verse 28 says, wisdom says, when calamity and disaster come upon you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. I mean, wisdom has been pleading and begging people in the streets to listen to her wise counsel. But no one cared what she had to say. They rejected her reproofs. They refused to take out her outstretched hand. But now, because of their suffering, I'm ready to listen. Speak, wisdom. Speak. I mean, we need your counsel. We need your reproofs. But wisdom cannot be found. But isn't that just like us? I mean, we neglect the teachings of God. We rejoice. We reject his rebukes and discipline. We spurn the wise counsel of others. And then we find ourselves in the very mess that we were warned about, but yet we would not listen. And then when calamity overtakes us, like a storm, and disaster sweeps over us like a whirlwind, we come crying back for help. During our times of trouble. But it's often too late. And wisdom said, you had your chance, but you would not listen. You know, in this proverb, Solomon is merely urging people to give heed to the words of wisdom that are available in many forms that we talked about last week. And if we don't listen to wisdom, we will suffer the consequences. It's just a reality of life. Now, I want you to understand, this does not mean, when Solomon writes and wisdom is speaking through this personification of wisdom as a woman pleading in the streets, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love us, that he won't forgive us, or that he won't help us. But the fact is, when wisdom tells us one thing and we do something else, problems will often ensue. And have you ever noticed that how difficult it is to get out of the mess that we get ourselves into? You ever notice how difficult that is? I mean, we didn't listen. We got ourselves in the mess. And we find our world turned upside down and we say, now I'm ready to listen, but it's often too late. Sometimes the problems are irreversible. They are irreversible. Or it is so big that it will take a long, long, long time to fix. And that's why you want to listen to wise counsel when it's given. Solomon concludes this chapter by saying in verse 33, he says, but whoever, and that includes everybody, but whoever listens to me, listens to wisdom, will live in safety and be at ease without fear or harm. You see what that passage said? Because that is what God wants for us. That's what he wants. He wants us to live in safety and be at ease without fear or harm. It is for this very reason that God's word had been preserved and carried down from generation to generation, because he wants what is best for us and our families. Do you believe that? that God wants what is best for you and me. And the calamity and destruction that Solomon describes for those who reject God's wisdom are the very things that God wants us to avoid. That's why Proverbs chapter 1 is recorded for us to read today. For that very reason. And prevention is always easier than correction. I know that all too well. I was raised to know God in Jesus Christ all of my life. All of my life. I mean, growing up, seldom did we miss a worship service or Bible class. And if we did, we had to be pretty close to death. You know what I'm saying? Are you about to die, Fred? Okay, you can stay home. You know, other than that, of course, they would say, Freddie, are you about to die, Freddie? Well, okay, if not, come on, get ready. Get ready, you're coming to church. And back then, we attended Sunday school, morning worship, evening worship, Wednesday night Bible class. Each spring, we attended the fall revival, two-week revival during the spring. During the fall, we had a two-week revival. I never missed vacation Bible school or summer church camp. None of it. And I know, I knew what the Bible said. I knew the do's and the don'ts. But I didn't always listen to God's wisdom and apply it to my life. In my marriage, in my health, and in my finances. And as a result, I suffered and my family suffered from doing my own thing and going my own way. And although I have repented and over the years have endeavored to repair the damage that I have done, I am still dealing with some of the consequences of my disobedience and ignoring God's wisdom. And so when I write this and write this sermon and read what it says here, I am writing from my experience. My experience. Now I want you to know that God is not a killjoy who delights in taking away the fun stuff. You know, that's not God. He doesn't delight in taking away the fun stuff from us. But our Heavenly Father knows what is best for His children and will bless us abundantly if only we listen to and apply godly wisdom. Amen? Let's listen to what God has to say. And so here's the question I want you to consider today. Have you been ignoring God's wisdom? I think, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands here, but I think if I asked everyone to raise their hands, if you, through some time in your life, had ignored God's wisdom, every hand would go up. Every one of us. We have ignored God's wisdom. But God has given us His Word because He says, man, I created you, Fred. I know exactly what is best for you. And you don't have to guess. Just open up the Bible. It's right there for you to read. And I give you instruction, clear instructions as to what is best for you, Fred. Just read it and apply it. But yet over the years, man, I heard it. But I just closed the Bible and said, man, I'm going to do my own thing. Again, I would have never asked for wisdom at 20 years of age. And the things that I got at 20 years of age has really created a lot of heartache in my life and the life of those that I love the most. And so we have been there. I have been there. You have been there. And I don't want to return to that. And so God, yes, gives us His Word, His wisdom. And He says, I love you. Just listen. Listen and apply what I have to say. We're going to be singing the invitation song. You know, we do this week after week. We know exactly what's going to come up. You know, they're going to get up there and they're going to sing a song, and I'm just going to be up here just standing. And you're going to be standing where you are, you know, just singing along. And what happens sometimes, because I've been there, is that you feel this tug. Remember last week we talked about the nudge? You feel this nudge that says, you really need to come up. You need to get up there and talk to Fred and talk to the preacher and really deal with what's going on in your life. To ask for prayers, to ask for strength. Because I guarantee you that whatever you're dealing with, man, there are people here who have gone through the same thing. We understand. And we're not up here to judge whatsoever. That's not what we're doing. We're not up here to judge. We are up here just to accept you and to pray with you and embrace you and just surround you with love. Because we have been there too. And so if we can help you this morning, if we can pray for you, if we can strengthen you, we want you to please, please come as together we stand and we sing.
There's a chair that waits for you, and a friend who